In 2006, the National Fatherhood Initiative released the results of a national survey of dads' attitudes on fathering. 99% of the fathers agreed that being a father was a very important part of who they are. Fathers, whether they are biological, adoptive, or stepfathers, and whether they live with or apart from their children, have a major impact on their children's well-being and success. When fathers are positively involved in their children's lives, those children tend to fare better across the spectrum of child outcomes than do children with disengaged fathers. Encouraging and supporting positive connections between fathers and their children can lead to not only safer, healthier children, but also a safer, healthier family and community. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quinones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Steve Gell, who is one of SCAN's volunteer parenting class facilitators. Today, Steve and I will be discussing how we as a community can better support the important and unique relationships fathers have with children. Steve and I will explore how father-child relationships can differ from mother-child relationships and why they are so important. And we'll also talk about what our community can do to support positive relationships between fathers and children. So, Steve, I know you've been teaching parenting classes for some 40 years. Tell us about that experience and your approach to teaching parents.
Hi, Sonia. Thanks for inviting me on the program. As you said, I've been leading classes for some 40 years since my children were very small. And I heard about the wonderful work the SCAN does in Northern Virginia. So I decided to join up, and I found that their approach was very similar to my own, and I am finding that as well.
And why is it so important in your experience for fathers to have a positive relationship with their children?
Well, people's personalities and values are largely formed by the environment created by their parents. It can be warm and accepting or cold and rejecting. It can be safe and secure or harsh and fearful. At the end of the parenting years, the question is whether the children emerge with self-esteem, with courage, with compassion, with optimism, or do they emerge with fear and self-delusion, inadequacy, pessimism? Parents play a crucial role in this process.
And you, in the parenting classes, often sort of distinguish between different styles of parenting. What do you mean by that?
Yes, well, in the old days, when I was growing up, parenting tended to be very authoritarian. It was a model that seemed to work in society, and it worked in the family as well. Parents made the rules, and then they enforced them, and kids were expected to toe the line. But then we had this era of permissiveness where parents felt that children shouldn't really be hemmed in by rules. They needed to be free and creative in order to have positive growth. But both approaches were really inadequate to deal with today's democratic modern society. So we have a program that really stresses giving children choices. Certainly having discipline, certainly keeping order in the house, certainly getting kids to cooperate, but doing it cooperatively, doing it sometimes creating the rules alongside of the children.
So it's all sort of about balance, of having some boundaries and some structure, but also allowing kids to sort of develop and exert some independence little by little as they grow up. And we started out by saying we were going to talk about fathers specifically, mm-hmm. and we don't want to stereotype or reinforce stereotypes about fathers and mothers, but there often are some differences. How mm-hmm. do fathers' relationship with their children often differ from mothers' relationship with their children?
Well, I agree we shouldn't stereotype fathers. Dads just aren't just breadwinners anymore. They take their roles as parents very seriously. They read to their kids. They attend their kids' games. They help around the house. Many are even stay-at-home dads, caring for the kids and the house. And this is much more common now. Still, fathers are often put in the role of the disciplinarian. Mom says, wait till your father gets home. You still hear that in many houses. But fathers differently from moms provide a male role model for both boys and girls. Through their fathers, boys learn how to behave in a male world. Girls learn how they should be treated by men. I recall Father Theodore Hesburgh, who died not long ago, president of Notre Dame, once said that the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother.
It provides an example, but also we know through research provides sort of positive effects on her in terms of maternal depression and that kind of thing, which improves her parenting.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes. And what do you find that fathers typically worry most about when it comes to parenting?
Similar to women, maintaining good communication, especially when kids get older. It's harder and harder to do that. There are very good techniques for doing this, such as listening, such as staying open to what the kids want to say. And it's important to avoid judging, lecturing, blaming, interrogating. These can become roadblocks to good communication.
I think we often, when we get stressed as parents, we end up spending an awful lot of time correcting our kids or telling them what to do, what we call directing, and not enough time just sort of listening to them. And that listening process of what they think about the world and how they observe things really helps us develop that relationship we can call on when we need to do the directing and the correcting later.
And it's fun.
And it's fun.
Then kids come up with things that you never would have expected if you just listen.
That's absolutely right. What are some of the challenges you find fathers often face in developing those strong relationships with their kids?
I think, as I say, communication is an important one. Parenthood is not easy. It takes time. And the more time you spend in the early years, the more it pays off later on. I often tell people to think of it as an investment that's going to grow over years, so that when you have a child who's cooperative at the age of 10 or 11, it may be because you put time in when they were 2 and 3. You find very often that parents tend to do the same things over and over again and get the same bad results. And it's important to think very hard about what you are doing. And if things aren't working, you know, try to change. There are a lot of good ways to make those changes, to learn. There are self-help books, there are courses that you can take to help parents figure out different ways to approach their children.
And so thinking about that, sort of how we help parents approach their kids, how can community organizations better engage fathers and support those positive relationships that children need to have with their dad?
Yes, as I said, parenting courses are very good. We tend to do what our parents did if we liked it, or just the opposite if we didn't. So the courses like the one SCAN offers provide parents with more arrows in their quiver, an understanding of children's needs, what to expect at various stages of development, how to maintain order in the house.
And one of the reasons I think we often get nervous about talking about the benefit of fathers is that we don't want to criticize or add to the concerns of single mothers in our community. And in today's society, there are many different family structures or arrangements that do work for kids. So what advice do you have for fathers or father figures, whether they're uncles or grandfathers or family friends, who want to support a child that they don't happen to live with?
Well, as for the dads who see their kids only periodically, they should try to make the experience as natural as possible. For instance, a lot of times they engage in excessive gift buying, thinking that will win love or friendship. It's really not the way to go. Of course, kids love gifts, and you should give them, but it shouldn't be excessive. Spending quality time is the greatest gift. Parents who experience a bitter divorce may make the mistake of complaining to the kids about the other party. And it may be an effort to gain the trust or love of the child, but it really doesn't work that way because it makes the kids very insecure. They doubt themselves because they feel somewhat responsible for the breakup. At the least, they worry whether there was something they could have done to keep the family together. Absent dads should keep hurt feelings to themselves or air them with the other spouse privately. You mentioned uncles, grandfathers, and others who can step into the role of the father figure. They can play a unique role in a child's life. They can be good role models for boys about how to behave as a male, not only in doing guy things like playing catch or going to ball games, but demonstrating by their interaction with a single mom how men show respect for women. They can be advice givers, but even more important, they can be encouragers. Find kids doing something right and notice that they really did something well. Notice how they enjoyed the positive things that they did. This is an encouraging thing, and it gives kids a much better self-image. And sometimes kids do okay in life if there was one person that had confidence in them, one person that felt good about them. It might have been a teacher or, as I say, an uncle or a parent who really felt that they were worth something.
And I think that encouragement and that belief in the child's value is a key thing for dads who either travel for work or who are separated from the child in terms of custody and living situations, is that you don't necessarily have to be at every concert or ball game or whatever, but mm-hmm. you have to ask about them and show the kid that you care about them and believe in them.
Right.
We have just about a minute left. Is there anything else that you wanted to be sure to share with our listeners this morning?
Well, I recall reading that Mark Twain once said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he'd learned in 7 years. So the message is for fathers and mothers, of course, be patient. Stay in there, and it will pay off in the end.
It's back to that investment analogy you gave us earlier. Thank you, Steve, for joining us to talk about the unique impact fathers can have in the lives of their children and what each of us can do to support and encourage positive relationships between fathers and father figures and children in our community. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Steve Gell, one of our volunteer parent educators, for joining me to talk about this important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about the importance of fathers and how you too can encourage and support them, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.